I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How are we now broadcasting from the studios of Milsons Point in Cammeraygal country? It's the Theory of Thing podcast, season 8, episode 5, I think. Remember, if it's talked about enough, it's a thing. This show is brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange, and a reminder that all advice contained in this show is general in nature. Please speak to an advisor about your needs. That's what I do. That's what this guy does. I'm James Whelan, Investment Manager at VFS Group. I am joined by Heath Moss, Principal of HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Very good, and good morning to you, James, and good morning to everyone else out there.
Mate, been an absolutely cranking week. You have to be in the market, apart from the fact that it was arctically cold at the beginning. I drove home. Oh, first off, remember I announced last week on Friday that we're about to go down to Canberra, our nation's capital, to for the skipping state championships for jump rope for my youngest.
Congrats mate, to your daughter on that, another big win.
Mate, we went took a very deep, long gold position on the family account, that young child. lumbered with gold, another championship for her. She is an absolute legend. I'm so proud of everything that she does. In opposition to Andrew Tate and that nonsense that he said about his dad, you know, and how driving him to the thing 11 hours and all this sort of crap. She's like, the same thing. I pulled her aside before the when she's just going to go warm up with her friends. I pulled her aside. And, you know, darling, whatever you do, I will be a proud father. Just have fun and try your best. And, and she does, and she did. And it's all in the work that she does leading up to it, and she did. Anyway, driving home in the snow, that's a first for me.
Yeah.
It was snowing.
Be a first for many Australians.
Yeah. Like George, it was so much so that people couldn't do it, and there was a couple of accidents on the federal highway.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow, snow. Blows your mind, like that thick snow, because it changes your depth perception. And I'm just sitting there driving. I was keen to get home. It'd been a big 3 days in Canberra. I was just like, I want to get home to my wife. I miss my dog. So I'm still going about 100 kilometres an hour with the snow blinding. There's ice forming on the front of the car. It was just wild. European conditions.
I've only ever been to Canberra once, and I think it was autumn as well. And I remember getting off that plane, and I only had a business shirt and slacks and stuff on, and no one warned me how cold it was.
Mistake.
In Canberra. Yeah, I quickly had to go through the shops and grab myself a pullover, a jumper thing. So, yeah, it is arctically cold. But, I mean, the markets really haven't been that cold this week. They've been pretty good, especially in the US.
Segue of the week, mate. Yes. Nice work. Yeah, go on. Give us a market wrap, mate.
Oh, look, mate, the theme has been, as they wrap up earnings over there, it's not as bad as everyone expected. I think the forecasts were for around the 7% drop in earnings this quarter. So far, it's just a little bit over 2%. Mm. But having said that, expectations were lowered materially over the last 6 months. Those earnings forecasts have been coming down, down, down. So it was really low hurdles for most companies to meet. And the big tech guys seemed to meet them and exceed them. There was a lot of companies that still didn't, but the market reacted slightly positively to it. We had the US CPI data out and PPI data last night. They were both softer than expected. But last night we had jobless claims shoot up and continuous jobless claims shoot up. So there are signs in the market that there's some softness coming into that jobs market, and that's what the Fed will want to see.
That's what they want.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's priced into the market already that they're going to hold in June. But this sort of, I think those jobless claims sort of cement it. And unless we get a super hot NFP later this month, then I think they'll be holding in June.
Yep. I don't see any way why they'd have a reason to rise, especially if the data is coming in showing that it is actually softening. I was looking at this is my note from a couple of days ago. Morgan Stanley still saying Fed pause, Fed pause, Fed pause. Oh, yes, here it is. So this is out of the Morgan Stanley chief economist, quote, the April employment report. So this is last week, exactly last week, employment report. surprised to the upside all the way around with a stronger than expected net jobs gain of 253,000, a stronger than expected wage increase, and a lower than expected unemployment rate. The strength should be weighed against significant downward revisions of prior data, which keeps the slowing trend in place.
So yes.
It popped up a touch, but if you look at the trend, I'm looking at this chart now, looking at it, just going, yeah, that's trending down.
Yeah.
Job numbers are trending down, unemployment trending up or tweaking up, inflation coming down. What was the number that was below 5% yesterday? Was that PPI? Was that CPI?
CPI headline was 4.9. Yep. That came in line, but I think core was a touchdown.
Yep, and that's the first time it's been below five in 2 years or something. So that's
So, and I did see a great chart the other day. I think I posted it in our group chat about core inflation figures and how sticky they are. And they take about, I think on average, it was 27 months to halve. So we're, based on history, we're right on track. There's nothing out of the ordinary about this core inflation. It is sticky. It's always sticky.
Yep.
I think once they hit that recession, they could be already heading into that recession now. Then I think inflation, you know, comes off a cliff.
Well, there was and the data that came out again, Morgan Stanley, who I just love listening to these guys because they just tell such a good story that's always in line with where I'm needing to be investing. Mm-hmm. And they're actually usually right. They got me through COVID pretty well, and I managed to decipher a lot of what they were doing into usable ideas. So they're actually very handy. Pay attention to Morgan Stanley. They're right across it.
Is that Mike Wilson?
Mike Wilson. Let's get after it. Yeah, that guy. And they've got all the other guys that are in there too that are just great. And the oil guy, unfortunately, it was the first time the oil guy has been talking a story that I didn't want to hear from him, saying that energy is probably done, but I'll get to that in a second. They were saying that they have their survey, their own survey that they run that shows consumer spending expectations, and all of them were declining in the services area. So it's what you're saying is happening, or what you're saying is going to happen is on the way to happening. That consumer spending is just going to seize up.
Yeah, and that's what happens. It's good until it's not, and it turns on a dime and falls off a cliff. You can look at any recession in the last, you know, 30 years, and that's what happens.
Okay, so now I've got the playbook from Bank of America. Now it's the flow show. Okay, so this is the Bank of America strategy team playbook. This is a history of asset returns in the 3 months after 10 last hikes of the past 50 years. So there have been 10 times in the last 50 years that there has been a last hike by the Fed. Okay, you follow me? You with me?
Yep, I'm with you.
This is what happens on the 3 months after that last hike on average. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay, so one of the main pieces of feedback is that it's just you and I talking about this and not actually saying, this is what's happening, this is how you can make money, and the other guys don't, the other podcasts don't. We will tell you how to make money on whatever. Anyway, we'll actually give you some tradable activity ideas here, okay? Okay, so pull out your workbooks. This is what they say. So I concur with most of these as well. So let's go through them and beat them up. First off, buy treasuries. The treasury returns positive 9 out of 10 times after the last hike. This is an easy one, obviously. So an average of 7% of returns. Bonds go up, yields go down. We know how that works. That's a free kick. Buy credit. Investment grade bond returns are positive 9 out of 10 times with an average of 6% returns. You good with that?
Yep.
Okay. You okay buying credit in this particular cycle? Are you
has
sure?
To be quality credit.
To quote Rowena, or in the Royal Commission, is that your final answer?
Yes, as long as it's quality credit, I'm okay.
Okay, okay. Well, they actually disagree, and I'm I'm in credit, but not deep in credit. I'm long, but I'm not overweight. I'm long just because you need to be long. But yeah, I'm not married to the idea. They're not. They just think it's a complacent credit. It's going to get hit by the recession. So, yeah, we do have a credit squeeze coming in. Buy US dollar. Again, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
The US dollar is stronger 7 out of 10 times after the last hike.
Interesting.
With an average of 5% returns. So they agree. Is that your final answer? They agree. Big secular sellers of US dollars, but surprise rally in US dollar here would make risk off sense. What? Okay. Now, here's the clanger that is counterintuitive, sell gold.
Sell gold. Very okay. Interesting.
Gold returns negative 7 out of 10 times after the last hike, average of 13% returns. Maybe because it's already been baked in over every single time, right?
Yeah.
Gold's had the run. If you buy it here, you're bold, in my view. They go
for gold.
They go love gold long term, but if dollar has risk off, then the gold goes back below $2,000. So it's a US dollar story there. Interesting. I think long term gold probably. Yeah, I wouldn't be buying it here. If you think that this is the last hike, which it probably is, then I wouldn't be buying it here. Let it come back down, and then it's a long term story again. Find a big support line on that chart and charge in. What do you think?
I slightly disagree there at the moment because gold is holding up very, very well. Much better than expected. Last few times it's been in this range, it's been a quick trip. It's hit, you know, 2050 an ounce and come back fairly quickly into that low 1900.
Mm.
It is holding around that 2000 and above that 2000 very, very well.
Okay.
So I don't know. There is massive accumulation by central banks this year.
Yes.
So that could be a reason it's holding up.
And China as well, going very long.
If the US dollar, high US dollar theme plays out, then gold will struggle because obviously generally they're inversely correlated.
Yep.
That's the only one I'd sort of push back on a little bit.
Okay. I'll pass it on to the Bank of America strategy team.
Make sure you do.
Okay. Sell stocks. Oh, wow. Thanks, guys. Sell stocks.
Great.
finish on a high, boys. Sell stocks. Stock returns negative 5 out of 10 times. Okay. It's a point.
50%.
Okay.
Flip
after the last hike, my investment strategy, heads or tails. But 5 out of 5 times in inflationary cycles. So it's an average of negative 5% returns to 3 months past the last Fed hike. This is an inflationary cycle. So I think this is what they say. This is an inflationary cycle. So still think, I love the way they just write whatever's in their head sometimes. This is an inflationary cycle. So still think breakout from SPX 3.8 to 4.2K trading range, more likely to downside. Okay.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, that's nothing unusual. And you'd think with, you know, historically with the last Fed hike, they're coming into close to a recession, so that could be why stocks underperform as well.
That yield curve is still stupidly inverted.
Inverted, yeah.
Pay attention to that. That's the one difference that they're saying, that the Bank of America's got here, that Morgan Stanley has as well on their stuff, saying that it's usually a pause, which would be a good time to buy stocks. However, or a good time to stay long stocks or be overweight stocks. It's a pause. The next move is a cut. However, they're like, the yield curve hasn't been this inverted going into one of these things before. I think I mentioned it last week. So just
COVID and all that action around COVID has thrown out a lot of data, historical data, and we can't really rely on a lot of it. I think in the same vein as we have in the past, simply because of, you know, we stop and start, restarted economies, you know, so much, fiscal stimulus and monetary stimulus was put into the system more than ever before. I think we're in uncharted territory here.
Yep.
There'll be a few anomalies that come out, even maybe in a couple of years' time in 2025, there'll be a few things still thrown at us that we're like,
It's possible that for a fair chunk of our careers, because we're still a young man. I turn 42 tomorrow as well, just quietly.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, that's the age that I wanted to be. I didn't want to go past that number. It looks like I have to because I actually like the people that I'm around. Anyway, hello to my therapist if you're listening. Where were we? Yeah, we're still young enough to know that we've got enough of a career in this thing going ahead. And I think that a fair chunk of our career is going to be spent investing around the fix for whatever the problem is that they just left behind them.
Yep.
So
yep.
GFC was almost fixed. They were ready to start coming out of it. We had one last little recession that was going to be in 2020 because the yield curve had inverted and everyone was expecting things to slow down. And then it was all going to be back to normal. The normalization of rate cycles, stop bailing stuff out, everything's fine. COVID hit, spending, inflation, and now inflation, rate rises, recession, and then recession, question mark.
Yep. And that normalization is going to take a little bit longer because things to the upside went to such extremes to balance itself out, they're going to have to go to extremes to the downside. I mean, you look at US M2 money supply and the extremes it went to during COVID, and now you look at it now and everyone's raving and waving their arms about going, we've never been this low on the M2 money supply index before, and that's exactly why. It's accounting for what happened on the other side.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, okay. You do any trades this week, mate? What have you got going on?
A little bit of lithium, actually. Yeah, a little bit of lithium.
A little bit of lithium. You know, actually, before you go into it, I'm flicking through. I've got a client who's a pilot. Hello, if you're listening. And there's a little bit of that Alchem on his account.
Yep.
Is that AKE? Yeah, it is. I don't have his account.
Yeah, AKE, yep.
And so I've got some of these clients that are just like, you know, they do this general advice thing. I don't run them on a managed discretionary side. They're just set. They like talking to me. They like that I'm there on the other side of the phone. They like me doing a bit of homework for them. It's a good job, this one. It can be okay sometimes. Every now and then, that's just like, James, I need a lithium stock. And I think that I went to you, Heath. Mm-hmm. This is a couple of years ago. And I said, mate, this guy really needs a lithium stock. What are our choices? And you've given me Orocobre. You gave me this one. It was on the list. And I was just like, you know, that one looks pretty good. That's got the best shot. I think that was it. So thank you for that.
No worries. it was a safe one. I mean, existing producer, it was a known. Orocobre back at the time before they changed names and before they took over Galaxy Resources.
Yeah. Now, give us a lithium play, mate.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's that bullish feeling about lithium is starting to come back on the market, and we've seen it in the spot price in China bottoming and starting to turn back up.
Yep.
We've seen researchers and analysts start become more bullish on lithium, more longer term than short term. They still feel there's some short term weakness maybe in the price because of we're at balance or maybe slightly oversupply for the next 18 months in lithium supply. Mm. But generally, they've been wrong there. Demand has outstripped supply based on most forecasts. But they feel that because pricing and the cost to get a lithium mine up and going now has risen so much. It was up 20% last year. It now it doesn't make sense for you to start a lithium mine unless the price, the carbonate price, is around $23,500 US a ton,
yep,
which is where it is now in China on the spot price. So the cost of production has risen up significantly, which means that the lower price, the floor price, needs to stay higher for it to be more attractive for these mines to start opening and for supply to start hitting that market. EV sales have been extremely strong in March and April coming out of China and Europe and even the rest of the world. So there is a real turning point there. We've also seen, you mentioned Alchem, there was some action on that yesterday with them and Livent in the US announcing a $10 billion merger. Now, I think it's more beneficial to Livent because most of their assets are in South America, and we all know how Chile have started to nationalize the lithium sector there.
Yep.
And Argentina are talking about it as well. So you're talking about the big the lithium triangle there.
There's always a point when sovereignty risk comes in on a good commodity that's going okay, then it's just the government. I mean, Gillard did it to us. Remember that? The mining tax?
Yeah, the big super profits tax. Yeah.
Yeah, a rarity, a rare time when Australia actually had sovereignty risk put over top of it.
And like it always does, you know, metals come back to the marginal cost of production, and those super profits, you know, melt away. It happens all the time in history. And, I mean, whilst I think there's a lot more to play out in this lithium cycle, we're going to see more mergers and acquisitions, and I think Australia and Canada are prime spots for that. We don't have the sovereign risk of South America. You even look in Chile and what they want to do with the copper industry over there, it's a bit of a sovereign risk. So I think here you're looking at plays that are hard rock, obviously, same with Canada, and they've got scale. So we're talking about 100 million tonnes plus of a JORC resource. I've mentioned them before. I'll mention them again. PMT, Patriot Battery Metals, is my number one pick.
PMT, general advice only.
Yep, general advice only. They are due to have their JORC out later this year. It should be a monster. The other one is GL1 as well.
That's GL what?
Louder. GL1.
So the kids at the back can hear GL1.
Yeah.
Disclosure, you hold these things?
Yes, I hold these. A lot of clients hold these.
Hope so.
Not ridiculously high sort of allocations, because it is, lithium sector is risky and quite volatile. But if you've got exposure to resources, I think you need something in these baskets outside the producers that, you know, could come into merger and acquisition, because we've had Alcum and Livent merge. Albemarle make a bid for Liontown, which they're going to have to either walk away from or raise significantly. It was $2.50 bid. The stock's around $2.90 now.
Wow.
Mineral Resources have taken a 20% stake in Essential Metals. Rio's come out and said they're in the market for the right assets. I mean, it's all on, and we're going to see more. And I think a lot of South American producers, et cetera, are going to only want to diversify their production, and especially into hard rock in Australia and Canada. It's okay. James Bay as well. James Bay in Canada couldn't be hotter at the moment.
All right, that's brilliant. That's a good report. Well, we've got some names there. PMT, yep. GL1.
Yep.
And I mean, if you just want to go now, it's just buy the lithium ETF and be done with it.
Yeah, ACDC, I think it is on.
ACDC or LIT is one that we go into as well.
Yep.
Myself, now, just a reminder that this podcast is brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Check out amfex.com. Open an account. Look at some of the funds that are contained within. You can get access to any managed fund in the world, local or in India, which is a place that I have actually now gone into. We are now long India on accounts, and I'm really happy with that. I think that I've been putting this off for so long, Heath, and you know I've been talking about India for ages, but this is my big play of the week is just going to India. Last week, long Equinix, because I didn't want to go long data centers in general, and so we went long EQIX over in the States. That's going quite well. I'm really happy with that that play as well. That's just being dragged along with all these amazing tech names, and they've actually got some really good stuff. So what was the other one that I was talking about? Yes, so India. I went long NDIA by the GlobalX crew. And
was this here, obviously?
What's that? Yeah,
listed that one's on the ASX. Yep,
yeah, listed here. So it's the Nifty 50 in India. I don't know why I've been putting it off for so long, because India, they've got strategic investment plans, which when I describe this to people, they're just like, that sounds like a superannuation industry. And I was just like, yeah, sort of is. But the thing with – so they set up these plans. So you're a regular Indian guy. You've got your job that you managed to get. You know, the growth in this place is incredible. Poverty to middle class, fattening middle class, upper class, it's amazing. And – It's growing at a rate of knots. Obviously, I don't need to go over that. India is growing is not the headline that you know need to know here. What happens is they've got these strategic investment plans, which are getting bigger and bigger. And you set aside a few rupee a month, and it just goes into the market. You've got your selected funds, mostly managed funds over in India, which, again, is why going into amfex.com and having a look at some of those Indian managed funds is great, because it's actually really difficult to invest outside of India if you're inside of India. It's very difficult to invest in India if you're outside of India as well. But if you're in India, basically your money has to stay in the system. So your investment goes in there. So no matter what happens, there is going to be this constant monthly flow into their own market because of the money that goes into the managed funds, and the managed funds have to buy the stocks underlying. Which
is very much like our super.
It just sounds a lot like our super industry.
It sort of props up our market continuously with this continuous, you know, 30% of
your super. 10% of people's pay goes into the market every month.
More or less, and 30% of that goes into probably Australian equities.
Correct.
So, yeah.
But anyway, look, so they do it there. However, theirs is growing at a rate of knots. Their market is just going insane. That's why I'm just going, you know, I'm going to put it off. And I think that there's going to be more emerging market investors. There's a headline in Bloomberg: emerging market investors ditch China stocks to pile into TSMC and Reliance. Reliance is the biggest holding in this Nifty 50 ETF.
Yep.
That's okay. I don't need to tell you anything more. G7 starts next week. That's in Hiroshima, a fitting place. Since we almost went to nuclear war last week, according to the insiders in Ukraine, that G7 is next week, and they're saying that it could be more of a decoupling from China and the US. So this could be Biden stepping a bit more away from China going into an election year.
Yep.
Investors will have to continue to move away from China, and the next best place is India. India is like looking at China in 1999 when.
Yeah,
looking at things, and it was just like 50% of every pie chart should be China. That's what people were saying. That was Jack Welch that was saying that. It was like, wow, okay, and he was right. And now you're looking at India, and I'm sort of thinking this. I've got that same feeling deep down inside.
I will say they are a little bit more bureaucratic. They're a bureaucracy, and they obviously, because of the English, had such a huge influence on their political system. It does take a little bit longer for things to get done, unlike China, where. You know, they want to build a skyscraper. They'll just
build their house. That's right. Yeah.
They don't really care. Whereas, you know, things take a while to get through.
If you have a look at some of the stuff that they've got, you've got that Modi is prime minister. The prime minister over there, Modi, is he's tearing through a lot of this stuff. He's making it easy. So there's little bits and pieces of bureaucracy are just getting out of the way now. Banking system, getting people into the banking system. And just letting people work more, letting women work at night, I think was the one that they're actually now working towards, which is going to open up a huge market there as well. So it's bringing people into the development, beautiful world. But look, that's my big play of the week. Last week it was data centers. This week it's India. Just keep on allocating that. I don't like general index allocations in the US. I think that you've got to be really picky.
Yeah,
and
very expensive.
If you take tech, what is it? If you take tech out of the S&P, if you take big tech out of the S&P, then it's actually down or something like that.
Yes.
Right.
That happened in 21 when the NASDAQ returned like 20% or something along those lines. Yeah. But if you took the top 5 or 6 out, it was negative 30%.
Yes, I remember that.
The destruction underneath those big companies was hidden in that index level.
Okay. Footy tips?
I've got just the one, and you may or may not like this. I like Frio at the line versus your Sydney Swans.
What are they giving them?
20.5.
So Fremantle.
Yeah. So
you, me, and 16 mates have a good run against Fremantle.
I don't mind Fremantle. They've won 3 games this year and are travelling just as well as the Swans. They just sit below you, and their game plan is I think will hold up. And I'm not
who
saying
are they playing. Who are they playing? Saints.
No, Freo are playing you guys, the Swans.
Oh, are they?
At the SCG, but I think you guys are in not that best of form, and
the SCG is not the fortress
than the line.
The SCG is not the fortress that it used to be, and I'm a curse on that place now. I've had an official request from the president of the Sydney Swans, from Putty, stop sitting behind the goals because I can't go. The two times that I've been to the SCG this year, I've seen 1-point losses, once against the Port game.
Yeah.
Back to Port. So, and I hate that team so much. And what was it against GWS? I don't know if that was a point, but it was close. It was a kick.
Yeah, I think it was a point, yeah.
Yeah. And there were some exciting games, but I just can't I can't do this to myself anymore. Look, in the NRL, I like and I'll just pick this out. I'm just going, you know, I really like the Raiders. They're getting it done. Raiders against the Parramatta Eels. Now, I think they've given Raiders -3.5. I'm going to take them on. I think that the Raiders will win by about 6. So look, that's good against the Eels. That's a GIO stadium. They're good, and I mean thinking that Canberra. Traveling to Canberra is a real tough time.
Let's hope there's snow.
I don't know if the delicate princesses in the Parramatta Eels are really up for that trip down there, mate.
No,
that's how that goes. Look, that should be a barn burner of a game. 7:30 PM on, I think that's going to be Saturday night.
Roll in from the Swans game into the Parramatta Raiders game.
Yeah, mate. And that's on my birthday is I'm just going to be getting some steaks in down at the Union. Beautiful. If anyone wants to come and join me, I'll see you there. Not really, actually. I'll be with my family. Leave me alone. Don't even make eye contact, actually. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, come and say g'day. But, yeah, a couple of beers, big bottle of red wine, a couple of steaks, 42nd birthday, thinking about what's ahead, which I've never actually – I actually don't have any plans for what comes after 42. Wow, that's something to think about.
I'm sure you work it out.
Something to think about. I need to get a drink on that one. All right, mate, we're going to wrap it up now.
Ty, no worries.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, you have a great birthday tomorrow, and all the mothers out there have a fantastic Mother's Day on Sunday.
Yeah, don't forget to send your mother something, guys. Why we are who we are, a little box of crazy. Okay, thanks everyone for joining us. Don't forget this podcast is sponsored by Australian Mutual Funds Exchange, amfex.com. They've built an amazing product. They've built a great platform. We've got people who are logged in and using it and having a great time and really do enjoy it. And any feedback that you've got, please let me know. But apart from that, go and check out amfex.com. Thanks for joining us, Heath.
No worries. You too, mate. And everyone have a good one.
Thanks, everyone. Talk to you later. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.